We were holding Zayin Amud Beis, the bottom line. Tana Rabbanan. Ein Baikin, Leila Arachama, Leila Aravana. When a person does Bedika, he doesn't perform the Bedika not by the sunlight, Leila Aravana, not by the light of the moon, even though the 14th of Nisan is always smack in the middle of the month, so you're going to have a full moon. But nonetheless, one cannot do Bedikas Chametz by the light of the moon. Not by the light of a torch. It has to be dafka, a candle. Gemara's going to discuss soon what the difference between a torch and a candle is. Why is a candle better than a torch? Because the candlelight is the best one, is the one that's good for a bedika. And even though it's not a clear proof, Zeichel Adavar, it's at least a remiss, what we've said until now, on yesterday's blotch, and Emor Shivas Yom Solo Yomotim Vatechim. It says regarding Chametz that for 7 days Chametz can't be found in your house, and it uses a Lashon of Yomotzei. The Oimer, and it says in a different pasuk when they searched through the sacks of the Shvatim by Chapes, he searched, Bagala Hechel Uvakatan Kilo Vayimotzei. So we see over there the Mitzvah was through a Chipus, through a searching. And it says in the different parts, so we see that this searching is performed by candles.
The third time we bring the
right, because
all the candles are
going to
be burnt out.
Each time the Gemara brings down a brisa, but each brisa adds a drop. Because first it was an amira, then the second one was a brisa, this one adds in Leila Racham of Leila
Alavana. At the beginning, right, that it brings down. Yeah. So why do we need the last pasuk?
So the Gemara said in the yesterday's blot, the reason why we need the last pasuk is because if you just had the pasuk of Yerushalayim, I would think that it's a kula, that we're not going to do a good bedika and only find the larger aveiros of Yerushalayim, not the smaller aveiros. That's why we said the second pasuk to say that no, this is the way to make a proper bedika. Hi, Arachama Hiridami. What is the situation of Arachama that we say that you cannot use the sunlight? If we're talking about in the open courtyard outside, Ha'amar Rava, didn't Rava say, Chotzer ain't tzricha b'dika, you don't have to check a b'dika regardless. Chotzer regardless. There is constantly birds there, ravens there, and any chametz that would be out there, it would be taken by the birds. Therefore, it doesn't need a b'dika in the first place. So it's not like you can't declare if the sunlight's a sufficient bedika or it's not a sufficient bedika, it doesn't need a bedika.
Chicago, they will change the gears.
Ela Bachsadra. Must be, it's talking about that it's an Achsadra. So it's covered over by an Achsadra like we always have. It's like a gazebo. It's covered over with a roof. So the birds don't hang there as much, even though it's open on all the sides. So maybe over there it requires a bedika. But Ha'amar Rava, didn't Rava say regarding an Achsadra that Achsadra lo'ir nivdekes, that an Achsadra may be checked by the sunlight? And the reason is, since there's no walls, it's open and it's very bright, the sunlight is sufficient. You don't have to do a bedika the night of the 14th. You could do it the next morning by the light of the sun. So Beit Zrichel says the Gemara, the case that we say you cannot use the sunlight is La Ruba de Bechader. You have a room, and in the room there's a skylight, so even though the sun is shining through the skylight, nonetheless you can't use that sunlight to check that room.
Once we already said that you have to do the bedika at night, what's the skylight going to do?
So that means, could use a sun, so then at a chanami you would be able to wait till the day and do the bedika by day.
Mm-hmm. So take the mishnah or
yeah. Uh-huh. That was only be, like we said before, because you need candlelight. But anywhere that doesn't need candlelight, you can wait. And that's number one. And number two is if you didn't do a bedika at night, so the bedika by day could be done by. So Ha'amar Rav Achsar La'irin Edek is it could. So the Gemara says like Tzichet La'aruba. A skylight that's in a room with a hecha. Now, where in the room are you checking? Ila bahadi aruba. If you're checking directly opposite the skylight, where the sun is shining straight through, hainu asadra. That should be the same thing as asadra. In the Sadr we said that the sunlight is sufficient, so if you have a window or a skylight and you're right opposite the window, so why should that skylight not be sufficient? It means the rest of the room, on the side of the window, where the sun is not shining directly, so even though you have sunlight, and one might think there's plenty of light there, you could do a bedika with just the sunlight. Since it's not directly opposite the window, it's not directly opposite where the sun is shining, so over there, that's where we're saying that the sunlight is not sufficient to do a bedika.
But there would still be a finish with the rupa, because there's walls there. So they're telling you that even though...
But the Gemara is asking, the Gemara is assuming that the walls don't affect when it's directly opposite the skylight.
Right, but if you would be able to use an aruba, then it would be for the rest of the room too.
No, that's goof what the Gemara is answering. Let's tell them. The sides, you're right. That's goof what it means. Let's tell them. Only direct where you have the direct rays of the sun, you could use the sunlight, not the sides of the room. Frak the Gemara, the Ha'amar Rava, didn't Rava say... Mavuka loy, and a torch cannot be used. V'amar Rava, didn't Rava say ma'idich siv? What does it mean that which it says in the pasuk referring to the tzaddikim la'asid lavoy? V'noyga, that they will shine ka'artia, would like they will have a shine of a bright light. Karnayim miyadoy loy, and this shine, similar to the lashon of we find by Moshe Rabbeinu kikaron arpanu, that there was like a shine that came off of his face. So this shine that's going to be on the tzaddik and the other light is going to come from the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the tzaddik. But over there we'll see the eyes, the strength of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what does that mean? The ma tzaddikim daimim b'fnei ha'shchina, it la'asid lavoy, the tzaddikim who are going to shine, how could we compare them to relative to what the shechina is going to be like? Kenera b'fnei ha'avuka, even though they're going to shine, but their light is just going to be like a candle in front of a torch. I mean, their light is going to be a light, but it's going to be much less than the light of a torch. So to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whose shine is going to be very great, the tzaddikim will also shine, but much less, like the shine of a ner in front of an avuka. But from these mashals, one thing is clear.
Where are we holding? I'm sorry.
Ches Amin Aleph. 10 lines down. There.
Thank you. Got it.
So if that's the case, so obviously we see that the light of a torch is greater than the light of a candle. So why are we saying bedafka to use the light of a candle, not the light of a torch? The Amar Rava and another Raya, Rava said, Avukal Avdala Mitzvah Memukhu. When it comes to making Avdallah, and you make a bracha vera me'ayrei ha'esh, and you have to have adnah from the light of a fire, so it's mitzvah min amukha to use dafka, a torch, because that, obviously, you have more adnah than the light of just a single candle. So why over here are we using a single candle? Amar Reb Nachman bar Yitzchok, and that says Reb Nachman bar Yitzchok, Zeh yochel lachnisa lechayinu stokim. A candle has a mila that a torch doesn't have. Maybe a torch has a better light, but when it comes to doing a bedika, and you want to check the chayrin u'stakim, all the nooks and crannies of the room, you're not going to be able to take a torch and bring it into those small constricted areas. So a torch cannot be brought there, whereas a candle could. So a candle is much better for a bedika than a torch. Zidama, a second teretz, zeh ayir lefanav, zeh ayir la'achrav. The mitzvah of a torch is, yes, it creates more light, but it shines backwards. It doesn't shine, it doesn't give light to what's in front of it, it gives light to what's behind it. So when you're holding the torch in front of you and walking and checking wherever you're checking, it's going to give you light, but it's not going to light the corners of the room in front of you or the parts of the room in front of you that you're trying to check. Whereas a ner, the light that it gives is in front of it, so it's not going to light the area that you're trying to check. Repapa Amar, another teretz, high boys, high boys. A torch, because it has a larger fire, you're afraid to bring it too close to certain areas because you're afraid it's going to catch fire, Rahman al-Islam. So if that's the case, you're not going to do a proper bedika in certain areas because you're afraid something's flammable there, you're not going to bring it too close. Whereas a candle, it's much less dangerous, it's just a small little fire. So you're much less scared with a candle, and therefore you'll end up doing a much better bedika.
It's almost like Rabbi Nachman Bar Yitzchak, no? The first answer.
It's very similar to Rabbi Nachman Bar Yitzchak, but over there, one's an actual physical thing that practically you can get it into more places, and the other one is even where you could get it, but Lamaisi you'll be a little bit more scared and you won't do even what you could do. But it's a very similar tarot, right?
You're not going to bring your fortune to your closet.
Right, yeah. Ravina Omar, Hai Moshek Nahir, Hai Mikhtav Viktufe. Again, even though in general, maybe the light of a torch is much more light than the light of a candle, but when it comes to bedika, a torch, the fire jumps around. It's not steady. So it flickers a lot. So if that's the case, the light it keeps on alternating, gets more or less, it's not going to be a proper bedika. Whereas a candle is steady, it's mashach nahire. It stays the same, or at least much more the same than the torch does, and therefore when it comes to make a bedika, it's a much better, the bedika will come out much better if you use the light of a candle as opposed to the light of a torch.
Well, halacha l'maisa, you should use a candle, not a flashlight.
So halacha l'maisa depends on really who your LOR is. Some people will tell you, yes, you should definitely use the light of a candle. Others will tell you that the light of a flashlight is even better than the light of a candle. They just didn't have it in those days, so if anything, it's a culture gain. And it seems that most people say they at least try with a candle because that's what the minig is and that's what Chazal said. But for sure, everybody agrees that in the areas that you're a little bit nervous to bring a candle so close, that for sure you'd rather use a flashlight there and do a better bedika than. Then use a candle not to do such a good job. Going back to the Mishnah said, any place that you don't bring chametz, then it doesn't require a bedika. So it doesn't say makim she machnizim bei chametz, it says that extra word, kol makim she machnizim bei chametz. So whenever it says kol or klal, it usually comes to include more. So kol makim asuyimai, what is it coming to include? To include this following brisa, if you have holes in the wall, the ones that are very high up, the tachtanim, or the ones that are very low down, either one of them is not so convenient to use, and therefore we're not afraid that you're going to start storing things in them, and maybe those things that you store in there are chametz, so they don't require a bedika. Similarly, gaga yitzia, the roof of a yitzia. The yitzia is like a room or some type of structure that was annexed to the main house. And that roof used to be a slanted roof. Even though most roofs in those days of the buildings themselves were flat, and therefore they used the top of the roof, and because of that, the roof itself would require a bedika, but the yitzia, since it didn't have a flat roof, you can't really put things there, so that roof does not require a bedika. The gaga migdal, and similarly, the roof of a migdal. So migdal was like a cabinet or an armoire that was in the house, and the inside of it was used, and the inside of it does require a bedika. However, its gag, its top, you don't put things there, you don't store things there, and therefore it doesn't require a bedika. The refes bakar, the stable where you have cattle, so over there Rashi says this one is not that it doesn't require bedika because it's a makam shei machnizim by chametz, but rather if there would have been any chametz there, it would have gotten eaten by the animal, so it doesn't require a bedika. The lulin, and similarly a chicken coop, for the same reason, does not require a bedika. Umatbein, the storage place where you put tevin, straw. So where you store straw, you don't go there any time when you're carrying food. There's no reason to assume that there's chametz there. It's a makam shei machnizim by chametz. It doesn't require bedika. V'oitzus yayin, v'oitzus shemen, and similarly, storage houses of where they stored wine or stored oil. All of those places, you don't go there with chametz ever. You only store wine there. You store oil there. You don't put anything else there, and therefore it's a makam shei machnizim by chametz. And therefore, all of these places, ain't strictly bedika, do not require bedika.
What is called? What is called?
I'm not sure which ones of these would be a chiddush that you wouldn't think of them otherwise. But the way Rashi explains the kasha is the Mishnah is bothered. The Mishnah already gave an example of a makom shem machlis v'chametz. What we're coming to, it sounds like there's more examples that we didn't yet list in the Mishnah. These are the examples that we didn't yet list in the Mishnah. Why you need a brisa to tell them this and you couldn't figure it out on your own? That's a, you have to figure out what the chiddush of each and every one of them is. But Reb Shimon Gamliel, Reb Shimon Gamliel says, Reb Shimon Gamliel, Mita Hachilekis B'soich Habayis. If you have a mita that's putting up, that's in a house, so the way Rashi learns Umafsekes means to say that the mita, that under the bed, that the mita is closing off that area under the bed. However, Mafsekes, it's high up. That there's a good gap between the floor and where the bed is that you could technically put things underneath. Then tzricha bedika. So then that area under the bed requires a bedika. Other rishonim learn that from the fact that the Mishnah says two expressions chaylekes and mafsekes, we're not talking about the area under the bed, but rather we're saying that the mita was you could say it either way, the mita was large or the bed or the room is small, but either way that the bed goes from side to side of the room, and the only way to get to the other side of the room is either by climbing over the bed or crawling under the bed. So if the mita is chalekes, if it splits the room in half, so if it's mafsekes, if the meat is high up that you can go underneath, so then the other side of the room requires a bedika. But otherwise, it's not convenient to get to the other side of the room. We don't have to assume that you brought chametz to the other side of the room, and therefore the other side of the room does not require a bedika.
You wouldn't climb over the bed to go to the other side of the room?
So the Gemara's going to get into this a little bit more, but we're obviously talking about that the bed is high enough that it's not convenient to climb over it as well. I'll ask you a contradiction to this. The Mishnah says, the Brisa says, if you have a hole in the wall, and this is a joint wall, it's the wall of your house, but it's also the wall of your neighbor's house, and the hole goes directly through from one house to the other house, and both neighbors use this wall, use this hole. So Zarat Bayde Gad Makam Shiyadu Megas. The person on one side checks as deep in as his hand reaches. And the person from the other side as well checks as deep in as his hand reaches. Vashar, and anything in between that neither of them could reach easily. Mivatloi, believe it, you don't have to be biting such chametz. You don't have to get rid of such chametz. All you'll do is, in case there's chametz there, you'll be mivatlit. Reb Shimon Gamliel says, Mita chelekes b'sech habayis. If you have a mita splitting in a room, the eitzim va'avonim stirut tachten, you have wood or stones stored underneath the bed. Umafsekes, however, the mita is not directly above that wood and that stone, so there's a gap in between. And in tzricha bedika, it doesn't require a bedika. So over here we have a double stira. Kasha mita mita. The first price it says if the mita is mafsekes, if there's a gap between the mita and the floor, it requires a bedika. And over here we're saying that even though it's mafsekes, it does not require a bedika. In the second price, kasha chayrin achayrin, and also we have a stira with the holes. The first price says the holes do not require a bedika, and the second price says the holes do require a bedika. So the Gemara answers. The stira that we have, if you have to check the holes in the wall or not, that's not a stira. The first price is specified. Only the holes that are in the middle, that are convenient to use, require a bedika. The ones that are high up or low down, either they're too high up or too low down, they're not convenient to use. You're not mechuyev to check them because we don't assume you put chametz there. So I'll tell you that the second price that says holes, The first price that says that you don't require bedika to holes are talking about iloi v'tatoi. The habemitzi, and the second price that says the holes do require bedika are talking about holes that are in the middle. They're not too high, not too low. They're just right, and therefore they require bedika. Mita mita like asha, the stira, if you have to check a bed that's splitting a room, if you have to check underneath it, like Rashi said, that's also not a kasha. It depends on how high the bed is. If the bed is tall and the gap underneath the bed is a large gap, so then enechenami, it's convenient to use underneath. It requires a bedika. Hadamitatoi, the bed is low down, so even though there is a little gap in between, but since it's low down, it's not so convenient to use underneath. Therefore, there's no chashash that he used the underneath, and it would not require a bedika.
You're not learning like Rashi.
Why?
Rashi's talking about underneath it.
I just said underneath.
But you were saying the other side of the room.
I mentioned both first.
Oh, I didn't hear that you said. Yeah.
I said like Rashi learns underneath the bed, and Tosis says that we're talking about that the bed splits the room and to the other side of the room.
Right.
No. And
why aren't you afraid of over the bed? Why aren't you afraid to go over the bed?
So, like Tosis, you're not afraid of over the bed because the bed is too tall to climb to the other side.
Does somebody get into the bed to go sleep at night?
So maybe there's a ladder from one side. There's not a ladder from the other side.
So they're just wasting the rest of that half of their house.
That's what the case has to be.
You don't use it.
It's not convenient to use. That means you don't use it on a regular basis. Maybe use it for storage.
Even if you don't use it on a regular basis,
so then it's makom shein lachnisim
bo chametz. You can bring chametz to.
If you only use it as a storage shed, and you don't ever go there with food because you only walk in there once or twice a year, so then it's a makom shein lachnisim bo chametz.
I don't think that's a normal thing, especially in those days, that anybody would just give up.
Yeah, I hear it. It's a kasha maisa. It's a kasha maisa.
That's probably why Rashi didn't learn that.
I understand. But why
didn't Taisa say just because of that lashon? That's why
Taisa says. Because it says two lashonis. Chalak is a mafsekas. What do you need two lashonis for?
Mm-hmm.
Right, the Gemara.
It also says that there's stuff piled under the bed.
The second price.
Yeah.
Right.
There's
stuff piled on the bed, so that makes the gap less. Right. According to our Gersa, there's a bunch of different Gersois over here in the Rishonim, but according to our Gersa, right, the stuff that's piled under the bed is just what makes it less convenient to use, because that what makes the gap under the bed less.
It just makes the gap.
Right. That's what it seems.
So if it was a big gap, you would crawl under there with your sub sandwich. And you go to the other side, but if it's
or like Rashi, or at least use under the bed. You might store food
like
under
Rashi
the bed.
Yeah. Things
right.
Like
yeah.
Like Tysus.
Right. Yeah.
Huh?
They're not supposed to put food under the bed.
Not store food under the bed. You could crawl underneath anything. Yeah. Right.
It was camp. You didn't have a choice. Yeah.
Frankly, more of a oitzis yain in sarach v'dika. The Brisa says that the storage house where you store your wine is called a makom shein machnisim mechametz, and therefore it doesn't require a v'dika. Is this so? V'atanya oitzis yain sarach v'dika. Don't we have a Brisa that says the storage houses of wine do need a v'dika? V'oitzis shemen ain't sarach v'dika, whereas the storage houses of oil don't require a v'dika. Says the Gemara, hakam mayaskinam b'mistapik. The first price that says wine storages and oil storages don't require bedika, that's talking about its long-term storage. It's not where you go and take your wine on for your sudas from there. That's the wine that you put away for a while. You're not constantly going to that storage house. If that's the case, it's a makom shein machnisim mechametz. Our Mishnah, for that matter, and who are doing the second price, that says wine houses, wine storages, wine cellars do require a bedika, that's the one that you take your wine from on a consistent basis. If that's the case, we're afraid that you went in there with chametz. Because if in middle of the suda you run out of wine, you're going to go down there to get more wine. If that's the case, you might come down with a piece of food and it's a makom shemachnisim bechametz. Nonetheless, the Brisa said, the second Brisa, that where you store your oil does not require bedika. Now, if we're talking about mistapik, ihaki fekti gemara, sheminami. So why the oil one, if it's the oil that you take from every time you cook and bake and during your suda, so then why shouldn't the oil one also be considered a makam shemachnisim b'chametz? Teretz is shemin yesh kevel achila. When it comes to eating, you know how much you're going to be eating and cooking for a meal. So all the oil that you're going to take for the meal, you're going to take before the meal. There's no chashash that you went in middle of the meal to get more oil. So before the meal, why are you going down there with food? You're not going down there with food. You're going down there to get the oil to be able to make the food. So it's a makom she'ein machnisim bechametz. Masha'ein, the wine, like we just said before, yain ain't kavod l'shtia. Yain, you don't know how much you're going to end up drinking. So if in the middle of the suda you run out of wine, you're going to get another. You go down there to get another bottle of wine or refill your decanter with more wine. So you're going to go down in the middle of the suda. Once you go down in the middle of the suda, then maybe you're going to carry a piece of food with you, or you're going to have a piece of food stuck to you, and it's going to be a makom shemachnisim bechametz. Tanya b'chia. Also, Eitzer Shecher beBavel kaEitzes Yain beEretz Yisrael. Storage houses of Shecher of beer in Bavel, that was the staple. That was the drink that they had in Bavel. That so the storages of Shecher in Bavel were just like the storages of wine in Eretz Yisrael. Just like wine, were chayshit that you went there in the middle of the Suda, and therefore you have to make a batik over there, it's considered a makash machnizim mechamet. So too, where they stored the beer would be the same thing. And the Gemara explains, but mistapik, that's dafka, the ones that you actually take from there, on a so therefore we're afraid that you went there in the middle of the Suda. Your long-term beer storage, where you're not going to take from there during the Suda, so the same way by wine, you don't have to do batika. So what in by the sheikha, you don't have to do a batika as well. Amram chista, beidagim, where they put the fish, aims are a bedika, that does not require a bedika. Fractica marva tanya tzricha bedika. We have a different brisa that says that where they keep the fish, it does require a bedika. Says the Gemara, kasha habiravavi al bezutri. Where they keep the large fish, your whitefish, your salmon, those type of things, so you know exactly how much you need for the meal again. So all the fish that you take out before the meal, and there's no shash that you went there in the middle of the meal to get more. The zutri, the small fish, your herring and these types, so you don't know how much the people are going to eat. These are appetizers. Sometimes they'll eat a lot, sometimes they'll eat a little. So if you run out in the middle of the meal, you're going to go get more. If that's the case, it's a makom shemachnisa bechametz. Amar Abba bar Ravuna beMilchi uBeKiri, where they store the salt, or they store the wax, tzricha b'dika, because in the middle of the meal, if you run out of salt, or if you run out of candles, you're going to go get more. And therefore, it's a makom shemachnisim bechametz. Amar Papa, Beit Sivi, where they store the wood, ubeitamri, or they store the dates, tzricha b'dika, because again, you might go there in the middle of the meal to get more. Tana, the Braisa says, ein mechai v'noisei lahaknes yadu l'chayrin l'mustakim livdoik, mipnei asakana. We don't require a person to stick his hands into the holes or into the cracks of a wall in order to do a bedika, and the reason why he's potter from doing so is because of the sakana. My sakana, what sakana are we talking about over here? Inema mibnei sakana's akrov. If we're talking about there's a sakana, there might be a scorpion hanging out in the wall and it's dangerous to stick his hand in there, he might get stung by the scorpion. So then it's mashma that you are not mechui to do a bedika because of the sakana. But there's takach shasha, there's chametz there. Now, if he's afraid of a scorpion, so he wouldn't have been using such a hole in the first place. So, why was he ever mishtamish with such a hole? Says the Gemara, "Lo'tzricha dinafal." What we mean to say is like this: as long as the wall is standing, there's no chashash if there's a scorpion there. We're talking about a wall that collapsed, and you used to store things in that hole. So now, are you mechuyev to check that collapsed wall or not? And the derech is that that scorpions like hanging out in rubble and these type of things. So until now, there was no chash that there was a scorpion there. Now that it collapsed, even though you know that you used to use that hole, you don't have to check anymore because of a sakana. Frankly, enough, if it collapsed, why do you need a bedika anyway? Vatanya, didn't we learn in a mission later on? If you had chametz and then a wall collapsed on top of it, it's under a pile of rubble. It's as if it's destroyed. You don't have to be baidik. You don't have to be mevayered anymore. Says the Gemara. Over there, we're going to explain in the next parak that it's covered up deep enough that a dog won't dig into it, which the Gemara is going to explain later on is at least 3 tefachim deep. Hacha, over here, we're talking about kishakel v'yachal l'chabes akrov. It's covered by rubble, but it's not 3 tefachim deep. A dog could go find it. So really, b'etzem, it's not considered mivur. But we're the sakana akrov. Nonetheless, he's butter because of the sakana. Why are we afraid of the sakana? Don't we have a rule? Shluchim mitzah don't get damaged. Amar Rav Ashi, Sema Tayv Loi Machat. You know, you're right. Really, if he was just doing the mitzvah, he's not going to get damaged. But we're afraid maybe he's going to lose as well a machat, a needle. But also the Unibasra, and he's going to, while he's doing a bedikah, he's going to say, I'm going to find my needle, my long lost needle that I've been missing for so long. And therefore, his kavanah is not only the same mitzvah, so he doesn't have the protection of shluchim mitzvah and nizakim.
It makes sense because we're talking about over here where the wall fell still.
Right? Yeah,
so
yeah.
Then, there's a lot of things that were there. Yeah.
Right, the Gemara, ki agadlo la mitzvah. You're going to tell me when he has a dual kavanah, he's doing a mitzvah, and also he's planning on finding his lost item. That's not considered that it's the same mitzvah. So Tanya, don't we learn in a brisa how Omer sells who would stuck up with the shul sheichliya bni? If a person gives tzedakah, he says, "I'm giving this out to tzedakah in the schos that my son should live; he should get better from his sickness." Or in order that I should be zeichet elam haba. So even though he has a dual kavanah, he's doing it the same mitzvah, but he also has a personal kavanah in mind. Nonetheless, it's considered that it's being done the same mitzvah. That mitzvah is 100% a mitzvah. So if that's the case, so who are then over here? Even though b'shas ma'aseh by the b'dika, he has in mind some fringe benefits as well. Why should that be a problem? Why should that take away from the fact that it's a mitzvah? Says the Gemara, duma b'aseh the b'adah kasa the unibasra. You're right. If he's doing it b'shas the b'dika, and while he's checking it for chametz, he's also checking it for his needle. And anachanami shluchim mitzvah and nizakin. The problem is maybe he's going to continue checking after he finished checking for the chametz. So at that point in time, it's no longer a mitzvah. If let's say he checked it enough that it's sufficient, he knows there's no more chametz there, and he says, you know what, I'm going to give one more look for my needle. So at that point in time, he doesn't have the protection of shluchim mitzvah and nizakin, and therefore, because it could lead to a sakana, we told him he doesn't have to check there at all.
Doesn't the fact that he didn't find his needle mean that he didn't do good enough bedikah?
Not dafka, because maybe it's a needle because based on the color, it's smaller, it gets stuck into a crack, or because of its color.
But isn't that lashon of tzadik gomer pretty surprising?
Right. So the Rishonim asked I didn't get into it. The Rishonim asked this kasha of tzadik gomer. It sounds like he's a tzadik gomer lagabi everything. Some touch it up. I touched it based on Tosis without getting into it. It means this mitzvah is a complete mitzvah. It doesn't mean that the person is a tzadik gomer l'gabe everything, but within this mitzvah he's a tzadik gomer. Means this mitzvah is a complete mitzvah. There's nothing lacking from the nothing lacking from the mitzvah. The sakana that we're referring to over here is not by a collapsed wall, and we're not talking about the sakana of an akrov. Rather, we're talking about the sakana of a guy. We're talking about a yid. Until now, we were talking about a yid who has a yiddish neighbor. But over here, we're talking about a yid who has a guyish neighbor. And if he's going to start doing bedika in the wall, the guy sees you shining a light through that wall, he's thinking, oh, this Jew is trying to do some kishas to me. And it's gonna the guy is gonna start up with the Jew now. It's gonna be a sakana from the guy. Uplimahi, and this is the shita of plimai. The Tanya Charsha ben Yudi Larmoi. If you have a hole that between a Jew's house and a guy's house, by the gamakam shiyodim a guy. According to the Tanakhama, you have to check as far as your hand can reach. Vashav mevatel b'riboy, and the rest of your mevatel, just like a hole between any other two houses. Plimi says no. Kol atzma in a baidik, you don't have to check the house at all. Mimnei asakana because of the sakana. My sakana. What's the sakana that we're talking about over here? Inim a sakana shofin. If the guy is afraid while the Jew is looking through the hole that he's doing kishuf to the Jew, and maybe he's going to start up with the Jew the Jew is doing kishuf to the guy, and therefore the guy is going to get upset and start up with the Jew because of that. Kishtamish kishtamish. How did he ever use the hole? Why wasn't he afraid? Stamazai to use the hole because that the guy is going to get upset at him. Teretzi is also kishtamish yamama. Normally, when he used the hole, it was by day unahira and it's light, so he wasn't shining a candle through there. So the guy doesn't see that the Jew's playing around in the hole, and therefore he doesn't think that the Jew's trying to start up with him. Over here, we're talking about he's doing bedika at night like he's supposed to. Ushraga, and he's using a candle. So the guy sees there's something funny with it. The Jew's like playing around in the hole that's right opposite me. Stomach's trying to start up with me. He's trying to do kishuv to me.
So why would we not be hired to do that bedika by day?
It sounds like it sounds like you can't do a proper bedika in a hole by day. It's too dark.
Oh, so then shtamsha.
Either we're saying that shtamsha, you just put things in there, right?
But the Gemara says
right. The bedika is done by night. Meaning when he was mishtamish with it, it was by day because you just put things in there.
Even during the day, the Gemara didn't have to say hachal alayim.
Why?
For a bedika, you use a candle. Therefore, it would be dangerous. It's going to think that you're up to no good.
But a bedika by candle, right? But yeah, I mean, why did the Gemara have to mention two things? The candle and the night.
I'm saying then do a bedika during the day.
First of all, nair might be noticeable by day, but not as much. But on the other hand, it doesn't work as much either. Like we said before, a candle by day, so it's not going to be a proper bedika anyway. It's not going to be a proper bedika anyway. Just be mindful.
It's interesting because that's mamish within your reach.
Yeah.
Right? Did we say you don't have to do any, or you just have to go as far as?
No, according to Plima, you don't do a bidig at all. Kolatz me in a bidig.
If you have a guy, you have a hole in between a guy.
You didn't go.
I mean, and that we're not afraid he's going to go in and take that stuff out over Pesach.
But that's the thing. They potted him even because of the zakonim. We potted him. The same way that we asked it on the previous tarets of Akrav, we'll ask over here again. Over here, he's doing a bedika. What happened to Shluchim Mitzayin and Nezakin? So the Gemara answers, even though there's a cloud called Shluchim Mitzayin and Nezakin, when you're going to do a mitzvah, you have protection, you're not going to get damaged. But if it's a place where it's Shchiyah Chazekah, where it's dangerous, then you can't rely on Shluchim Mitzayin and Nezakin. Shenemra, like we see in the pasuk, Vayomer Shmuel, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Shmuel to go anoint David HaMelech, and obviously if Shaul finds out about this, his arch rival is becoming the king and he's going to lose the Melucha to David, it's not going to be good for Shmuel. So Vayomer Shmuel, so Shmuel says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Eich Eilech, how should I go anoint David? V'shama Shaul V'arguni. Shaul's going to find out and he's going to kill me. Now, what was he afraid of? Hashem told him to do it. It's Shluchi Mitzvah. And not only do we see that Shmuel was afraid, we see that Hashem listened. Vayomer Hashem. Hashem told back to Shmuel, Eglat Boker Tigo Yedecha, take a calf with you and pretend that you're going not to anoint David, but you're traveling to go bring a carbon. So we see that A, that Shmuel was afraid, and B, Hashem said an echanami, do it in this way to get out of the sakana. Hashem didn't tell him, don't worry. So why? So we see where it's shliach hazeka must be that you can't rely on shliach mitzvah and in the zakin. They asked the shayla from Rav. Hani b'nei b'Rav, the people of the talmidim of the yeshiva, the Dairi b'Bago, they live out in the valley and they go to the base medrash. Ma'ale meisei karma v'chashecha. Could they come early, before sunrise, before it gets light, and who didn't stay late while it's already dark, the beirav to come to yeshiva, to the base medrash, or is it a sakara to travel by dark, like we know from the beginning of the mesechta? So Amr Lehu, so Rav told him, Nesi alayv la'al tzavari, they can come and it will be on my echrayas. I take echrayas for that. Why? Because shulchan mitzvah in nizakin, though they don't have to be afraid. Says the Gemara, Nezamai, what about going home? So the coming, I understand, they're on the way to do a mitzvah. So Amar Lahu, he answered them, Vayadana, I'm not sure. Itmar, Amar Rabbi Lazar, Shluchim Mitzah in Ezekiel, Loi Bali Chasim, Loi Bali Chazirasim. Now Rabbi Lazar said that Shluchim Mitzah, not only do they have protection on the way to the mitzvah, but even on their way back, they're also protected. Kiman, Ki Aitana, where do we see this? Like in the following verse, the Tanya, Yizi Ben Yehuda, Imer, Klavish Amar Torah, when the Torah says, talking about the people who are oile regel, that don't worry when you go up to be oile regel, and even though you're leaving your house for so long, lo yachmed yishes atzecha. No one's going to desire the land. No one's going to come and say, "Oh, this guy's out of town. Okay, I could take over his, and plunder his property." Milamish et eparoscha roya be'efer. Your cow could be sitting grazing in the marsh. Ve'en chayim atzikos. It's not going to get damaged, attacked by the animals. Your chickens, minakeres ba'ashra, will be pecking around the dump like they normally do. They're not going to be attacked by weasels. Animals which Chazal say Adam is play mazla. Adam has a mazal, has a malach that protects him, whereas animals don't have that. So animals which are easier to get damaged, and nonetheless in an izakin b'shas that you go to be other regal, Hashem said, I'm going to protect your animals and make sure that they don't get damaged. B'nei Adam shein dagel lizak. So people who have that extra shmira, b'nei Adam de islay mazla alachas kama v'kama. For sure, on their way to be other regal, they're going to be protected that they won't get damaged. I only know on the way there that they're protected. And how do you know on the return trip as well? It says, fighter in that pasuk, you, after you're finished being on the regal, you'll turn around the next morning. You'll go back to your tents. This teaches us that when you return, you're going to find your tent in peace. That means even on the return trip, nothing happened. Because if the protection stops as soon as they finish being on the regular, and now they're on their return trip, so Lavdaka, when they came home, will everything be safe? Must be that even on the return trip, everything is going to be okay. V'chimiyakad afidu b'chazira. So if even on the return trip, everything's okay, v'alicha lamali, so why does the pasuk have to say, v'shas v'alicha, that everything's going to be okay? It should be a kavachimer from the chazara. Says Gemara, l'chit Rabami. That comes to teach us that which Rabami said. The Amar Rabami, kol adam sheyesh lekarka, Oyla Laregel, someone who owns karka in Eretz Yisrael is mechuyev in Aliyah Laregel. B'she'ele karka, but someone who doesn't own karka in Aliyah Laregel is not mechuyev in Aliyah Laregel. So from the fact that the Torah said, Le'achmer Yishir Sa'atzecha, don't worry, you could be Aliyah Laregel, because why you go Le'achmer Yishir Sa'atzecha, the Torah is coming to say that we're obviously talking about a person who has karka, which tells us that someone who doesn't own karka is not mechuyev in Aliyah Laregel. Omer Evolvin, Baravada, Amar Bitzchok, Mimne Ma'im Peres Ginoiser Bushalayim. Why don't they have Peres Ginoiser? Ginoiser was the area around the Yama Kineres. So those Peres, like we know from other places, were very Gishmak, very sweet Peres. Why doesn't Yerushalayim have such good Peres? Why don't we find such things in Yerushalayim? Says the Gemara, Kedesha lo yu aile regalim aimrim il mali lo yalinu elalecho peres ginoiser Yerushalayim dayenu. In order that people shouldn't say that when they go to Biyala Rego, that it was worth it to go to Biyala Rego just for these Paris. The whole trip was, if it was only for that, it would have been Kedai.
It would still be a Tzadikamah.
It would still be a Tzadikamah, but at the end of the day, it's Shalei Lishma.
It's not the best way, but...
And then it's Aliyah, Shalei Lishma. Kayetze boyam Reb Dostoy ben Berabiyana. Similarly, he said Reb Dostoy Berabiyana. Mibnei ma'in chamit tveri b'Yerushalayim. The same thing. We find chamit tveri in tveri, Gishmaku hot springs. Why don't we find them in Yerushalayim? Same answer. That the people who will go to be Eilu Regal, they shouldn't say, had we not gone up only for this to bathe in the Chamit Feria, that would have been enough. It would have been Kedai to go just for that. And again, it comes out that it's an Aliyah Shalei Lishma. Back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, if a Makam Shei Machnisim by Chomitz is not required to do a bedika, if that's the case, why do we say that two shuras of a mativ of a wine cellar require a bedika? So mativ man docher shmei, who said that you are required to make a bedika in a mativ, that the mission should ask such a question? Says the Gemara, Hachikamar, kol makom she'ein machlisa b'chametz ein tzarich bedika. We already mentioned before a makom she'ein machlisa b'chametz ein tzarich bedika, and we know based on the brisa v'oitzis yain v'oitzis shem and nami ein tzarich bedika, that includes storage houses of wine and storage houses of oil. So we see that storage houses of wine and oil should be potter. If so, b'me amr shtei shuris b'mativ. So why do we have a machlis b'sham b'sil later on in the Mishnah about shtei shuris b'mativ, two rows of a wine cellar? Must be makom she'ein machlisa b'chametz. That sometimes a wine cellar could be a makom she'ein machlisa b'chametz ubi mistapik, and it's talking about a wine cellar that you actually, it's not the long term storage, but actually take your wine from there, like we explained on Amud Aleph. Now, what does it mean two shuris? Do you have to check? What does that mean? Amar Rabbi Yehuda, shtei shurais she'amru, these two rows that we say min ha'aretz ad shmei kaira, both of them are from the ground all the way up to the top. Meaning, just to make it easy to envision, let's say you have a cellar and you have it a cube, because you make rows, and then after you finish the whole floor level, you put more barrels on top of it. So let's say, for argument's sake, you have a cube that's 10 by 10 by 10. You have 10 rows of 10 barrels, and you've stacked it up 10 high. So, Beishame says, Shtei Shuris Alpanei kol amartiv. According to Reb Yehuda, that means to say, you take the front 10 across by 10 high, that's one shura, and then the second column right behind it as well, again, 10 across 10 high. Reb Yehuda amar, no, shura achas kimin gam. What you do is you do like a gam, which is a Greek letter, which is the same thing as an endachov, or an upside down L if you want. It means you check the whole front, all the barrels that are facing the front, the 100 that are exposed to the front, and all the ones that are exposed to the top, means the 100 on the top, now 10 of those happen to be the 10 of the front as well. You're checking 190 barrels total. Tani kavasit Reb Yehuda, we have a price that supports the opinion of Reb Yehuda. Tani kavasit Reb Yehuda. Tani kavasit Reb Yehuda. Beishat me'em shtei shuras apanei ko amarteif. Two rows on the whole cellar. Ushteshru Shamu, these two rows that we were discussing, both of them are from the ground to the top, meaning the front, all the barrels facing the front from the floor all the way to the top, and then the ones behind it as well, the next level, backwards, again from the floor all the way, all the barrels from the floor to the ceiling. Tarek Abbasid Rabbi Yechanan, we have a bryce like Rabbi Yechanan, Ushteshru Shapanei Kol Amartev. What is that? Chitzayna Royas HaPesach, all the ones that are on the outside opposite the door. Velyoyna, and all the ones that are on the top, Royas HaKarev, that are opposite the ceiling. Shalafnim Mimena, but all the barrels that are inside, that are behind the front row, Vishalamata Mimena, and under the top row, Ein Tzarech Bedikah, those do not require Bedikah. Basil says, no, you don't have to check so many barrels. We're not chayshu that you use so many barrels and that there's chametz hanging around so many barrels. All you have to check is, shtei shuras hachitzaynos, shehein elyoynos, the two upper outer rows. What does that mean? Omer Rav, what is it?
I'm saying that's 20. Yeah.
So it's going to be 20 barrels. So the question is, which 20 barrels? So Omer Rav, elyoynos shalamatim menu. You take the top corner row, the highest row on the outside, which is 10 barrels, and then Shalamata Yemena, one row underneath, another 10 barrels underneath, which is a total of 20. That's the two upper outer rows. Ushmu Amar Yenim Shalafnim Yemena. No, the 10 in the corner, the highest row, the uppermost, outermost row, that's 10. And then one row behind it, the next 10 that are behind it as well. So and that's your 20 that you check. So my time with the Rav, why does Rav say it's the two rows that are on the front, the highest row that of the front and the one underneath it? Daik chitzayinus, because he's medayik from the Mishnah that it says chitzayinus, the outer ones, that both rows that you check have to be the outermost rows. If you're going to check the top and what's behind it, so then the second one is not chitzayinus, it's not the outermost row. Frankly, Marvel Ha'el Yonis Katani, Lemaisid also says El Yonis. And the second row down is not the highest row, it's the second to highest row. So he's going to say that El Yonis is Lav Dafka, that means it's the uppermost row, but rather, Lemuti Tatoy de Tatoy de Tatoyisa. It just coming to include the ones that are further down than that. But the Iker Biyik is, according to Rav, Chitzainis. Shmuel Amr, the opposite. El Yonis Shalafnim Menov. The highest row on that's the one that's the outermost, plus the one that's behind it. My time, why does he say that as opposed to what Rav says? Daik Oyanis, because he holds the Iker Diak is that they both have to be Oyanis. They both have to be the highest rows possible. If you're going to say like Rav that it's the highest one and then the one underneath it, then it's not going to be the highest row. Friday Marva Chitzayna Katani Lamaisa, it also says Chitzayna. And if you're going to do the highest one and the one behind it, so the second one that you're doing is not the outermost row. Says the Gemara, the Muti Givaisa, the Givias, the Enechanami. It just means to say the Afuki, the ones that are even further in. But Enechanami, it's not the innermost.